When you're in a church service, do you worship freely, or do you restrict your expressions of praise for fear of what people will think of you? Did you know that worship is for more than just Sunday morning? Today, on Living with Joy with Phil Waldrop, author and worship leader Duane Moore shares how to give and live your worship to God. Welcome to Living with Joy with Phil Waldrop, a daily program dedicated to helping you live the Christian life to the fullest. Now here's our host, author, speaker, and conference leader, Phil Waldrop.
Well, I have a question for you. Do you know how to worship God wholeheartedly? Well, don't be too quick to answer that question until you hear the insights of our guest today. Today's guest is someone who's going to show us that worship is more than we do on Sunday. It's something we should do every day. He is a longtime friend and someone I've had the privilege of being with. He's actually led worship at some of our conferences that we've sponsored. And he's just a young man who has a profound insight into worship. His name is Duane Moore. Duane is an author and worship leader with a burden to help the church understand what true worship means. He lives in northern Alabama with his wife and children and is the founder and president of Next Level Worship, a company that provides worship discipleship resources to churches and believers. And I recently had the privilege to sit down with Duane to talk about worship. So I want you to listen as he shares with us the concept of whole life worship and how true worship can help you grow personally in your relationship with Christ and to help you grow with your fellow believers as a church. And at the close of today's broadcast, I'm going to tell you about a very special resource that you can get from Philwater Ministries for a gift of any amount. So you want to stay tuned to hear that. But now, here's my interview when I had the privilege to sit down and talk with Duane Moore about worship. Well, Duane Moore, it is an honor to have you on Living with Joy. It's good to see you. Thanks for sitting down and talking with us today.
Hey, Phil, man, it's great to be here. It's good to see you again. We go way back.
Well, we do. In fact, we were talking earlier how far we go back, and let's just say we had a great time on Noah's Ark together, so it's been a while. But it's always great to have a friend,
yeah,
and a friend who really has a heart that is next to my heart. And I want us to begin by talking about something that where the Lord has really given you some insight about worship. And I just want to begin by just addressing what is a very prominent problem. Some people have called them worship wars. Churches seem to be so divided about styles of worship. And maybe just share with us from your perspective, are worship wars real, but even more important, are they necessary?
Well, first of all, they certainly are real. I've seen some churches maybe not so much divided anymore to the point where you see literal splits, but underlying, the current is still there often. A church I worked in not many years ago, some people that love the Lord very dearly, but they could not agree on styles of music. And so there was always an underlying current of a little bit of distrust and dislike among the laity, if you will. And I think that maybe I don't want to call that a war, but it certainly is something brewing that I think causes disunity. And so we still need to be addressing it.
Well, do you think we miss it because is worship a style of music?
Well, it certainly is not a style of music, but I think, Phil, we've done it to ourselves to some degree. I mean, we call that 10:30 to 12 or 11 to 12 hour, that hour on Sunday mornings, we call it the worship service. So people come in and whatever happens there, they assume that's the worship. In fact, some of our materials, we will set them up even in conferences where people will have a booth set up and people will walk by and they'll see the word worship associated with us and they'll think, oh, that's about the music. It's not. So I think we've got to start from the beginning of helping people understand what the word worship means and how that should apply, not only in that moment on Sunday mornings, but all through the week.
Well, help us with that. From your studies of the scripture, what is worship?
Okay, that's a loaded question, first of all, because that'd be difficult for anyone to answer in just in a few moments, I think. But let me go from this standpoint. Psalm 29, verse 1 and 2 says, "Give to the Lord, O you mighty ones, give to the Lord glory and strength." give to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, for years, I thought he just maybe got tired of talking about giving, and he swapped over to worship. No, it's in the same breath. He says, give to the Lord, give to the Lord, give to the Lord, i.e. worship. In other words, worship. So worship is giving to the Lord. But how do we do that? Well, you go over to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and it talks about how that our body should be a living sacrifice. When we lay our bodies out before the Lord, you know, in the Old Testament, that was their worship when they came and gave those offerings of those sacrifices. Well, now our body is the sacrifice. And as we lay that body of ours out like Paul and die daily to Him, everywhere we go, whatever we do, it's an offering of worship, or it should be. And so, and I'll relate one more verse. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. That says, whether we eat or whether we drink, whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. Now, if we'll get that, really let that sink in, that means that whatever I'm doing, even the menial task of eating and drinking, or in that context, in that chapter, if I'm doing it in front of pagans, make sure that what I'm doing is bringing glory to God. That's worship.
So worship is about who we are more than what we do.
It certainly is, because God looks first of all at the heart, and certainly the praise flows out of that. Let me explain it like this. The name of our ministry is Next Level Worship, and I know when people hear that, they might go, well, now, why would you call it that? What does that mean? Is that just for certain special people? Well, no, it's not for the spiritually elite to be on some enlightened level of worship. No, every one of us as Christians should be on this level of understanding, and not only understanding, but experiencing whole life worship. But it's three parts, Phil, if I can just touch on these. First of all, it's a passion to give it, like we just talked about in Psalm 29, to give worship to God, to have a passion. Do you remember and I'm talking to our listeners now. And I'm talking to myself. Do you remember when you first trusted Christ as your Savior, and you just couldn't wait to get to church to worship Him and praise Him, and you had a passion? Oh yeah, I long for that. I long for that in my life every day, not just when I was saved. I don't want that to wear away. I want to keep that passion, and that's a part of worship, is loving Him and wanting to tell Him how much I love Him. It's adoring Him. But not only that, we've got to have not only a passion to give it, we've got to have a surrender to live it. Yeah, to live it every day, to say, Lord, it's not just about what I do on the outside, but I've got to love You on the inside, because You, Lord, look at my heart. It's just a bunch of noise if I don't love You from my heart. But then third, it's not only that, and I think this is where a lot of people are not quite understanding yet, but God is beginning to help us understand that it's not only giving it and living it, but it's also showing it. It's a burden to show it to other people. Let me explain that. When Jesus said, "You are the light of the world, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." What is He saying? He's saying our worship should be so contagious that other people want to glorify Him too. That we let that light shine before people that they can see that it flows from my heart and it comes out of me in the form of praise. And I say, Lord, I love You. And I let my praise show forth to other people. That's what we mean by next level worshiper. Someone who genuinely loves God, not just on Sundays, but every day of the week.
I think one of the mistakes we've made in the church is as you mentioned a moment ago, we talk about the worship service as though worship is something we do only on Sunday morning.
Right.
And worship is really a lifestyle. And what flows out on Sunday morning is really an outgrowth of what has happened during the week with our lives. And I also want people to understand worship is not about music. Mm. Music is an expression for many
it's
people.
It's a wonderful expression.
Right. For my wife, music is something that flows from her naturally. I'm not a musician. Music doesn't come easy for me.
Right.
So sometimes worship for me involves quoting scripture or just verbally telling the Lord how much I love Him.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be to a tune or with certain types of instruments. And so I in my own life, I have found worship is, as you've just indicated, is something we live more than something we do.
Maybe your listeners will recognize this old hymn. It's one I grew up singing and listening to. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. And imagine that we sing that song. They choose that song for Sunday morning or whenever we're gathered with the saints to have some time of praise and worship. And we start to sing this song. Imagine if I've actually done that all week long. Imagine if I've actually trusted Him. Wow, what a difference is going to make in the way it comes out of me. Let me tell you a story. When I was in college, I was a music major. So I sang in a choir there. And the first time we got up to sing in the convocation, we call it a convo. Now I understood exactly why the choir director instructed us like he did. He said, now we're going to wear robes. We're going to keep our hands to our sides. We're not going to, I don't want anyone to stick out, so to speak. I want everyone to be uniform. And I understood that. I got that. And I tried my best, Phil, to do it. I did. But, you know, I felt kind of like a victim because of the song they chose for us to sing at convocation was, remember that song, Blessed Jesus, Blessed Jesus. Well, I'd had a rough week. It'd been a tough week. And I had been desperately leaning on this Blessed Jesus because I was having a hard week at school and in life. And so we get up to sing this song about a Blessed Jesus, and I couldn't help myself. Now, I didn't literally raise my hand. I was a good boy. I kept my hands down. I did the best I could because I knew that was important in that setting. But listen, you know what? If it's inside you, it's going to come out somehow. Because when I got done, we all got done, we came off from the choir loft at the end of that convocation, some of my friends said, man, what were you doing up there? What was your deal? I said, what do you mean? I was singing. They said, oh, no, you were sticking out like a sore thumb. I said, why? Because you were smiling from ear to ear, and it was obvious, Dwayne, you couldn't hardly stand still singing that song. I said, I'm telling you, if it's inside you, it's going to come out. And that's what we try to help people understand. The worship starts from the inside, but it flows out of me in the form of praise and worship and loving God.
We're talking to Dwayne Moore about worship. One of the things, Dwayne, that you have, as I've known you all of these years, you've loved to lead and to teach others about worship. It's one thing to love to worship. It's another thing to want to teach others how to experience worship in their own life. Where does your love for worship come from, and especially in teaching others about worship? And what is it that has caused you to maintain this passion for God that you want to carry on and help others to experience?
Wow. Well, you know, I trusted Christ as my Savior when I was 6.5 years old. And for about 3.5-4 years, I was like a lot of other little kids, I guess. Of course, you know, at first I went and told my first grade friends. I was very excited about it, but it kind of wore off, you know. But then my father passed away when I was 10. Well, that got my attention. And God began to work in my life, in my heart, to go, you know, Dwayne, life is short. Even as a kid, I began to understand life is short. And I began to do something that I think has made one of the biggest differences in my life. I saw it modeled with my mom and other people, pastors that took me under the wing and became a spiritual father to me. But I saw them invest time alone with God. And I saw that, and I began to experience that for myself. And I got in God's Word. See, that's almost an old-fashioned idea now, to actually make time to read God's Word, but it's still important. You can read it on your BlackBerry, however you do it, but the point is you do it. You read it, and you digest it, and you let it become a part of who you are. I remember laying on the bed one night, and I think I was in like the 8th grade, and I was reading Romans chapter 8. And I got down to that part about neither life nor death nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor any other creature, you know, it goes on, shall be able to separate you from the love of God. And I went, I didn't do anything. And it wasn't I manipulated. It wasn't like I said, okay, time to shout. No, it wasn't like that. There was this sense that came over me that I believe the Lord just kind of opened a window in my mind. I really do, in my heart. And it just settled on me to say, I love you, period. And at that moment, that word came to life to me. And it became something that became a part of me. It changed me forever. And, you know, you can't help but want to share that with somebody else. So in time, I began to share those things and principles with other people. Didn't know a lot. Still don't know a whole lot. But I share what I know because I want other people to experience the Lord like that.
And it's something that you have, through the years, done in so many wonderful ways. And one of them is, even though you have become quite a musician and you have many times led worship services musically, but you've also written several Bible studies. And I want you just to mention them because there's several of them. The ones that I am most familiar with is Pure Praise. Mm-hmm. I remember when you first wrote that, how excited you was, and you sent over me a copy even before it was published. Mm-hmm. And as I went through it, I was pleasantly surprised at the depth of it. Not that I perceived you to be a shallow person, but there was so many things that I found myself thinking as I read through it. I haven't heard this before. Not that it was something that was new in the sense that you added to Scripture.
Right.
It was just a little fresh perspective that you did pure praise. And then out of that, you developed a program called 30 Days of Renewal for churches to do. But one of the things that has stood out is that you want people to make the connection between Scripture and scriptural principles and really what they need to experience in their life. So talk to me just a little bit about that approach of doing it as Bible studies and about pure praise and some of the other things that you've done.
Well, and I appreciate that question. When I first began to write these, first of all, it came out of a burden to understand, to help my own church folks understand these principles. So, you know, I realized that if I could write another book that you can sit down and read in 2 or 3 hours, and those are wonderful. I love those kind of books. Or you can read, you know, over a period of a few days. But that's not how God taught me. That's not how God changed me. He taught me over many days. And so I realized that I really need to divide this up into devotional studies. Now, granted, that takes some discipline on someone's part, because you don't just read it for a few days. It might take several weeks. But in those several weeks, what can happen? We get stories all the time. And I say that all the time, literally every week, from someone saying, I got an email last week, said, this has changed our entire team at our church. This has changed our lives. And they hear that. You know, here's why. It's not because of something I wrote, Phil. I mean, I'm just a guy loving the Lord, trying to do what I can to teach people. But it's God's Holy Spirit when we get people in God's Word. And here's what I try to do. Here's one of my biggest goals for all the materials we write. I want people to, if you sum up 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, if you sum it up, I want people to gaze on Him and be transformed. And that's what happens when we cause people to look at these principles you're talking about, some fresh, some ideas that are somewhat fresh, others are reminders. But you know what really matters the most? When the Holy Spirit infuses that stuff into our hearts. That's what makes the difference.
Well, one of the things that you have done too is that much of your writing, you have developed them or laid them out as daily devotionals.
Right.
What's the purpose behind that?
Well, it's because I understand that you don't grow an oak tree overnight. I mean, it just takes time. And let me be real honest and transparent to say, I realize that there's a potential of not selling as many books because, you know, simply because a person, when they pick this thing up, they're realizing they're committing to a discipline over a period of days. But if they will do that, if you'll take that 15, 20 minutes every day, and 5 days out of the week is how we lay it out. I mean, you know, not every day. If you'll do that, God will honor that. And I don't think you have to, like in Crazy Love, Francis Chan's book. I agree with what he says, that you don't, there's no command that says you've got to meet with God every day in a quiet time. Well, I agree. Obviously, that'd be a legalistic thing. But if we'll make the time that God so yearns and longs to be with us, wow, will He ever honor it? When I was 15 years old, Phil, I remember singing up in Hazel Green, Alabama, a little church, wonderful little church there. But I was about to get up and do a concert, and the Lord, in His still small voice, but very loudly to my heart, He said, Dwayne, I want you to commit to a time with me. I want you to, you've known about it for a while, but you've never seriously decided to make time for me on a daily basis. And I got up, I had to get up from where I was sitting, and I know the pastor of the church was going, where's he going? He's about to get up and sing, and he's leaving me. And I walked outside, and I had to walk around that church and have my little discussion with God. And really, it was an argument, but He always wins those, doesn't He? You know, and it was like, Lord, I can't do that. I'm only 15. I'm not ready to make a commitment like that. Blah, blah, blah. You know, I was not happy. He said, Dwayne, if you're serious about living for me, and if you want me to really anoint your life, you need to make this decision. Well, I did. I waved the white flag. I gave in. I want you to know, just like that, and my spiritual life skyrocketed, and I feel like it was 3 or 4 times of quicker growth, simply because I spent 3 hours a day, you know, praying, but I just made those few moments to get in God's Word, and that's why I lay my Bible studies out like this. Maybe not as many people will read them, but those who do will be changed.
Well, sometimes I think if we try to tackle a large book, we sometimes get discouraged because we feel obligated to finish it. But when something is written as a devotional, you can sit down and do it. Well, they're excellent books and they're well written. One of the books that you've written is entitled Worship Life Journal, 30 Days to Personal Renewal. Would you just say a word about this particular journal and why it means something to you?
Yes. I wrote that because I realized that we needed a resource for everyone in the church. The first book I wrote, Pure Praise, is a phenomenal book that a lot of churches use, but it's pretty in-depth. I mean, it's it requires those 20 minutes or so every day. And so I wanted to pull out some principles that apply to everyone, that everyone in the church. So let me just highlight them. It's understanding what worship is, and then understanding what praise is. It's understanding how to get to know God more. It's understanding how to worship with other believers and be more sensitive to each other than worried about my style of music and what I like. You know, and we teach all that in this journal, but it's only about 5 minutes a day. So anybody in church can do this and benefit from it. And there again, we see so much response back. A pastor in Missouri recently went through 30 Days of Renewal, went through the Worship Life Journal with his church. And he told one of my colleagues that works with us, he said, "John, I just want to tell you, it has impacted our church. We've never had worship experiences like this before corporately, and I know it's because they're having those privately." And let me say that too. Every one of these resources it challenges people to experience that praise time privately, because one of the precepts that our ministry is built on is the understanding that until it's in private, our praise is in private, that it's continuous and free, it'll be restricted in public. And Phil, we're not trying to get people to jump pews. You know, that's not our point. We're just trying to get people to love the Lord. Can you imagine sitting in a room together with a bunch of people like-minded like you that understand it's not about what I like. It's not about what I'm getting out of the service. It's about what I'm putting into the service. It's about loving each other more than I love myself. Wow, what God can do in that service.
Worship is a lifestyle. When we remember that and put it into practice, only then will we be able to grow the way God intends for us to grow. Well, we're going to stop the interview there for today, but I want to remind you that Dwayne Moore is going to join us again tomorrow as we continue our discussion on living a life of worship. Well, as I said earlier, Dwayne and his company, Next Level Worship, provide worship discipleship resources for Christians. One of the things that he has is a special program called 30 Days of Renewal. It has become a revolutionary program in many churches. Now, the packet that he developed includes a church leader's pack and small group study and devotion book, and they're all meant to help us bring a lasting revival to churches that use them. Well, part of that is a wonderful devotional book entitled Worship Life Journal, 30 Days to Personal Renewal. And this journal is a standalone guide to going deeper in your personal worship experience, or it can be used in conjunction with the program. It is a 5-week study with 6 daily personal devotional readings each week and a weekly devotion for your family. And I love Dwayne Moore's material so much, and I want to introduce you to it, that today we are offering the Worship Life Journal, the 30 Days to Personal Renewal, this 5-week study with 6 daily personal devotional readings each week and 1 for your family each week. We want to send it to you as an expression of our appreciation for your gift of any amount. It is something that'll be a blessing to you. It'll also introduce you to Dwayne Moore's other writings and material that he has, because I know some of you are going to want to get the material and use it in your church. So for your gift of any amount to Philwater Ministries and Living with Joy, we're going to send you Dwayne Moore's devotional book, Worship Life Journal, 30 Days to Personal Renewal.
Phil Waldrop and the staff of Living with Joy would like to send you a copy of Dwayne Moore's book, Worship Life Journal, 30 Days to Personal Renewal, as an expression of our appreciation for your gift of $25 or more to Phil Waldrop Ministries. To get your copy, visit our website, livingwithjoyradio.com. That's livingwithjoyradio.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-374-1550. You can also write to us at Living with Joy, Post Office Box 148, Trinity, Alabama, 35673. The Worship Life Journal is a 5-week devotional that will help ignite your passion and love for God and your fellow church members. It features 6 daily devotional readings each week and weekly devotions for you and your family to do together. Again, to get your copy of Dwayne Moore's book, Worshipful Life, 30 Days to Personal Renewal, as an expression of our appreciation for your gift of $25 or more to Phil Waldrop Ministries, is 1-800-374-1550. That's 1-800-374-1550. Or you can write to us at Living with Joy, Post Office Box 148, Trinity, Alabama 35673. That's Living with Joy, Post Office Box 148, Trinity, Alabama 35673. Or you can visit our website at livingwithjoyradio.com. That's livingwithjoyradio.com. Living with Joy is a production of the Phil Waldrop Evangelistic Association in Trinity, Alabama.